Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the Brett Mega Show.
Let's hear it.
Day three of Back for the New Year. We got the whole show with us.
Holy cow, finally.
Hannah and I were joking that every single day we just kept adding people. Like on Monday, we all missed because of the snow day. Then Hannah and I came back. Then Kevin came back. Now AB and Alex have finally joined us every single day. We got like a new, it was like a new rollout, like a slow roll. So AB, how was your break? How was travel? We missed you.
My break was awesome. I feel like I did nothing for 2 weeks, so that was awesome. So I got back from Atlanta last night. I was at Passion, which is this conference where it's a bunch of people in their 20s just going to like worship God and hear a bunch of these like really famous speakers, and it was so cool.
That's awesome.
I've never been more excited to die.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
What an interesting line to start on.
I don't think anybody else can follow that.
I was just gonna ask but I get what you're saying.
Yes.
I understand. Yes. That's awesome.
I know what you're saying, but it is a funny line.
Right.
Wow.
Alex is going to say, how was your break, but are you excited to die?
Not looking forward to death. I dread it, you know, because it's the only thing that's inevitable, right, in life. Mine was great,
this
though.
Is so deep for 2 minutes.
Yeah, no.
Like the show.
Let's get away from that. No, mine was fun. We actually last week went to Innsbruck. We got a cabin in Innsbruck last week. If you've never been, it's awesome. I know I'm talking about it all the time on the air, but it was incredible. I mean, we stayed in a cabin. The two of us. We brought the dogs out there. I think you've been out there before.
Yeah, I've done like those cabin things, and I think I've done Innsbrucks before.
And it is just such a cool experience. If you've never been out there, we did it before the snowstorm came and then came back in time. And I swear, you know, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but like for the life of me, I could not get a fire started for whatever reason in the fire pits there. And it was just like, it was weighing over me. And I felt just like I couldn't accomplish anything.
You felt like that Progressive commercial.
I swear.
It's funny.
I really did.
You were like wanting to be in the cabin.
Self-worth.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the cabin, right? You got the bonfire outside. You got the old wood fire burning.
Inside.
It's like the black thing with the, it's the old school one. It's
old
not your normal.
Fireplace?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not like a normal fireplace. It's
no,
like the
it's
old.
It's just those black ones that look like almost like an oven.
And then you close the door.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I could not get a fire started, and I felt so pathetic, and Annie got it going a little bit, and then it died down, and it was
It really sets the mood, too,
like
so there was no mood.
It was defeating.
There was no mood.
It was defeating.
You hear it in your voice.
But everything else was great.
After he couldn't start like a romantic fire, he turned to his fiance and goes, I couldn't be more excited to die.
Let's start with some good news.
I've got good news and good news.
Tell him the good news.
Good news?
Good news.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, Airbnb announced yesterday that it is going to be offering free temporary housing to residents impacted by the Los Angeles wildfires. Airbnb founded their charity arm in 2019, and since then they've provided more than 1.6 million free nights of emergency stays for more than 250,000 people. They have helped people with that have been evacuated by hurricanes, other natural disasters, and they announced that they're going to be doing this for people specifically that have been displaced during the wildfires. If you have an Airbnb or you are somebody that rents out Airbnbs or know somebody that does, Airbnb is looking for you to step up as well, because this isn't all, as you know, Airbnb isn't like, the company doesn't own these places. These are people that are stepping up that own these places. And so, you know, this isn't just a company doing good things. This is
a lot of
general people
of
the public doing great things. And so this is really great to hear. It's they've partnered with 211 LA. That's also a nonprofit that serves Los Angeles for a variety of things such as food assistance and shelter. And they've, you know, decided that, hey, we want to make sure that everybody has a place to call home during this time.
I think there's, you know, what we're seeing on the news is really devastating. We're seeing these wildfires just, you know, consume Los Angeles and Hollywood. And then on the news, how many celebrities' homes have been destroyed. And it just puts it into like perspective of like, even people who have ridiculous incomes are not untouchable to natural disasters. But that doesn't mean that every single home that is devastated in LA is a celebrity's home who can afford it, who can just, you know, go to their other home in a different city. There's so many people in the Los Angeles and Hollywood area whose homes are wrecked and are searching for emergency places to stay. And so just to put it in perspective, just because you're hearing a bunch of celebrity names doesn't mean that every single person that lives in those areas. And if you've ever even just landed in Los Angeles for a second, where the airport takes you through is like the hood. And then you go to these nice, beautiful Hollywood Hills homes. But these people who are, homes are right next to these areas, next to these Hollywood Hills, are in desperate need of somewhere to go.
They're gone too. I mean, it's not just Sunset Boulevard. It's not just Pacific Palisades. I mean, it's a ton. And sadly, those fires have not really found a containable way to stop them yet. So anybody stepping up to help is just amazing.
Yeah, and we're thinking about our friends and family in the Los Angeles area.
The polls are open.
All right, poll of the day on the Brett Megas Show. And it's fun to do this poll because everyone's back. And it's the first time we all saw each other. But can we say Happy New Year to each other? When's the last day you can wish someone Happy New Year?
I think the last day you can say it is New Year's Day.
New Year's
what?
Day?
Like, oh, I think that seems, that's just it.
Happy New Year, then it's over?
No.
Yep.
Kevin? I think you have until MLK Day because that's the next official holiday.
What's that, the 20th?
What?
Yeah. So I think you can say Happy New Year, especially if somebody you haven't seen in a while. Hey, have a Happy New Year.
All right.
I would be so confused if someone said that to me. I'd be like, what?
All the way up till January 31st.
Really? Okay. The whole month. Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Yeah. Now I will say, though, it only the first time you like see that person, though. Like, you can't have seen them like 25 times.
I agree with Alex because also there's a lot of college kids who haven't gone back to school yet. So they haven't seen all those friends and they won't see them until probably after MLK Day when they go back. So they can tell their friends Happy New Year. I don't think that's weird.
Yeah.
No.
I think what's weird is New Year's Day.
I do think New Year's Day is a little extreme.
I don't even remember what I did on New Year's Eve. That was so long ago. If someone said Happy New Year's to me, I'd be like, what?
Generally speaking, the most common answer was January 7th. You get one full week of the year to say Happy New Year. January 15th is when people consider it the dead last day, which is even before MLK Day.
Get over it.
And I'm like the first couple of days. And then I'm like into like... Like, I just saw Alex and AB for the first time, and I didn't say, Happy New Year. Like, that would feel weird to me.
That would really offset the vibe in here.
But do you think it's the same? I sometimes will say, how was your holiday? And I did say to AB, like, hey, how was your holiday? Did you have a good, you know, time off? Is that the same as saying Happy New Year? Should I just move on, too? Or am I being a hypocrite? Like, I can't say Happy New Year, but I can ask about your New Year?
If you say, like, how was your holiday, that seems like Christmas to me.
I like, how was your holiday season? Because you're just coming out of a whole season of holiday.
How was your break? Break is a good word to use.
Because you had some break and some time off from seeing people. But I do think, like, I don't know if I'm being hypocritical. I think I agree with Hannah. The first couple of days, I think it's weird to say Happy New Year. But then, like, when I see someone for the first time, I do want to ask, like, hey, how was your New Year?
You know what? I'll be a proud hypocrite. I would rather someone ask me about my Christmas than my New Year's.
What? That's because that you hate New Year's.
AB and I got a couple more weeks of telling each other Happy New Year.
Yeah, right. I can't wait till I see you two walking around like January 30th. Happy New Year!
Hannah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
The polls are open. Brett better keep it. Brett
better keep it moving.
All right, we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock because we know your life is busy, and we're just going to talk about all the trending stories. Maybe you've been snowed in lately, and so we'll just read off some headlines that people are chatting about, and Hannah will either tell me keep it moving, or she'll say tell me more just based off the headline. Girl Scouts making changes to your cookie flavors. It's Girl Scout season.
Oh, this is a big deal. What are they doing?
Final run for s'mores and toast yays.
What?
Yeah.
Final run?
Final run. This is it. They're going to retire them. I know the toast one is like whatever.
Okay,
I don't,
yeah.
Who does this? Yeah. But the s'mores are legit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really popular one.
Nothing better than tagalongs and thin mints, but still, s'mores were legit. I like
them. If they get rid of Samoas, I'm done.
You're a Samoa girl. List the most popular wedding dates for 2025.
I'm not getting married. Keep moving.
Hey, Alex, I don't know if your date's on. Sorry, Alex.
Sorry. Forgot about you.
Most anticipated concert events of 2025.
Okay.
All right, Game Time, which is like a last-minute ticket site, which you can find the cheapest tickets. So this is like where you can get the cheapest tickets possible. Gives you the events that people are just dying. And what are the most expensive and least expensive? Most expensive concert ticket right now, Bruno Mars.
What?
Yeah, $1,600 really? Is what the average Bruno Mars ticket is going for in 2025.
I mean, he does have a lot of good
songs. There could be some cool guest stars that might show up.
But do you know what will surprise you? Beating out, like, New Kids on the Block, Coldplay, Eagles, Pearl Jam, huge artists, is Gracie Abrams is number two on the list. It's Bruno Mars, then Gracie Abrams. Her average ticket price is almost $1,200.
Whoa!
I told you guys, she's coming.
Yeah, I love her music, and it is obvious that she might be the Sabrina Carpenter of 2024. Right. People are watching.
And I love her dad. Thank you, J.J. Abrams, for bringing back Star Trek and Star Wars.
AB's really been rooting for her. And
yeah.
Looks like the price is catching up. Thanks, AB.
Gonna have to get a second job to go see her, though.
Literally.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
Hannah's homeschool.
All right, Tiffany, you versus Hannah in a pop culture showdown. How you feeling?
Feeling kind of good.
All right, feeling kind of good. How you feeling, Hannah?
You know, I really got to get my brain power, like, fully back from break.
Defrost it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hannah versus Tiffany, pop culture showdown. We're going to ask Hannah to leave the room. We're going to ask Tiffany the same five questions we ask Hannah. When Hannah leaves the room, she can't hear the questions. And Tiffany, you got to win, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, we're restarting Hannah's record over the year. She's 1-0. All right, Tiffany, first question. Hannah's officially left. Thank God. What TV show or movie won the most awards at the Golden Globes recently?
Grey's Anatomy
won the most Golden Globes at the... Kevin's laughing.
Oh, no.
It wasn't Grey's Anatomy.
I don't even think they had any nominations, to be honest.
I think Hannah's going to be so excited because she loves Grey's.
Answer.
And she recently restarted watching it again for like the fifth time. All right, the WWE just made their premiere on what streaming service?
Netflix?
Yes, that's correct. There you go. Zendaya just got engaged. Who is her now fiancé? Who is she dating?
I feel like I know this answer, but I can't think of his name, but...
Can you think of the character he plays?
No.
Well, that sucks because that's the next question. What superhero does Tom Holland play? Tom Holland is the fiancé. What superhero does he play?
Spider-Man?
Yes!
There you go!
Good
hey.
Job.
All right, and then where does the ball drop on New Year's Eve?
New York.
Yep, so 3 out of 5.
Not bad.
Tiffany, we were a little like, you know, slow start, but I felt like we got through it and we did pretty good, all right?
Absolutely.
All right, one song away, we'll find out if Hannah can beat 3 out of 5 in Hannah's homeschool.
Hannah's homeschool!
All right, Hannah's entering back into the room, carrying what do you got there, an Alani? Trying to keep your energy strong.
I got an Alani. I got a coffee.
She needed energy to take on Tiffany and Hannah's homeschool. How Hannah's homeschool works is we just got done asking Tiffany 5 pop culture questions. Hannah leaves the room. She stands out there, buys energy drinks, and cannot hear the answers to the questions. I'm going to ask Hannah the same 5 questions. A tie does go towards Hannah's record. Restart after 100 and... Well, how many wins did you have last year? Like 150-something?
No, like 180.
180, yeah. Wow. 180 wins. But now we're back
don't
at...
doubt me like that.
I think she's 1-0 on the year. All right, here we go, Hannah. Tiffany got 3 out of 5 correct, so a tie will go towards Hannah's record. What TV show or movie won the most awards at the Golden Globes recently?
Shogun.
Shogun is the TV show that won the most awards. The WWE just made their premiere on what streaming service? We got live sports entertainment. If you called wrestling WWE live sports.
ESPN?
No, Netflix. Now Netflix really? Is covering yep. the WWE.
What the hell?
Zendaya just got engaged. Who is her now?
Tom Holland.
Fiance, Tom Holland.
Spider-Man.
Yes. Oh, yeah. What superhero does Tom Holland play?
Hey, yes, he's Spider-Man, which is a shock for me to know anything about superheroes.
All right, 3 out of 5 is you've already tied, so you got the win. Where does the ball drop on New Year's Eve?
New York?
It is New York. Yeah. Man, you made me nervous.
Times Square.
I didn't know how specific you wanted.
Oh, yeah, that's what you were thinking. Yeah, right. Times Square, yeah. Exact street.
How
in
detailed
New York.
Of an answer does he want?
4 out of 5. Good enough for the win for Hannah.
Nice job, Hannah.
All right, Tiffany, you got to say this is Tiffany and I got schooled by Hannah.
This is Tiffany and I was schooled by Hannah.
Hannah's homeschool.
Mega Minds.
All right, let's go around the room and ask you the Megamind question of the day on the Brett Mega Show. According to a recent poll of 2,000 women, they said this is the sexiest thing a man can wear.
I think that most men look good in a backwards hat.
Oh, like the backwards snapback?
Mm-hmm.
Not like Fred Durst style?
I think it's when they're dressed up. I think it's a suit.
Suit?
Mm.
Looking good in your suit and tie, Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, I was going to say suit, but I will now say workout clothes.
Oh, workout Ooh. Clothes. Just showing off the biceps, shirtless.
You know AB, I'm into that.
You see a guy, you go, man, he's good looking when he's wearing what?
Honestly, I feel like a hoodie.
A hoodie, just
like you
casual.
Know when you see like celebrities in hoodies and you're like, wow, they're normal people. They look so cute.
That's so funny you say that because I do think that often. Like
yes.
for some reason you see celebrities and they're all usually done up.
Yes.
Whenever they wear a hoodie, I'm like... But it's not true for regular people. It's those jerks.
Right.
Every time I see a celebrity, I'm like, I don't look like that in a hoodie. Why? Why would it look cool in a hoodie like that guy? But yes, all the time when guys, Kevin's over here wearing a hoodie.
We're
like,
all wearing a
Kevin,
hoodie.
Kevin, you look great.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Doesn't
you.
Kevin look sexy today? He's got the Notre Dame Fighting Irish hoodie on. Go
yep,
Irish.
Go Irish.
No, that's not true. It's not their like...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hoodies. Maybe it's their, you know, repping their team. That's sexy for you ladies? When Kevin's repping Notre Dame?
No, I'm not into sports.
Or Kevin.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. This, I am just reading the numbers and the results from the poll. Do not kill the messenger. I think you're going to be surprised what is number one. So maybe guess things that you would be surprised. But according to a recent poll of 2,000 women, they said this is the sexiest thing a man can wear. What do you think
you're
it is?
You're just going to say something you're wearing right now.
Yes, obviously. That answer's coming our way in 2 songs.
Mega Minds.
We have the answer to the Mega Mind question of the day. Don't kill the messenger. It's a poll of 2,000 women. The women have spoken. So I'm just going to give you the answer. According to a recent poll of 2,000 women, this is the sexiest thing a man can wear.
I'm really curious, and so are people on the text line. Carolyn texted in and said glasses. Mm-hmm. Teacher Suzanne said light, tight-fitting jeans. Very specific.
Really? Wow. All right.
And
Hi,
Heather.
Luke Bryan or something.
Right. Right.
Heather says something that I think is also really interesting. She says a man in uniform, so like military police, firemen.
My mom always says that.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we close?
No. We're not even close. A tuxedo is number 2, James Bond looking like, all right?
Okay.
Number 1.
Is it fishing waiters?
No. Guys.
Cowboy boots.
No. Sexiest thing a man can wear, number 1, was a Speedo.
Oh, no.
No.
That's it.
Run the other direction.
Yeah, if you can pull it off, yes.
No, no. Even someone that can pull it off, that's still an ick.
Hey, the women have spoken. Everyone,
what
2025,
women?
2025, you're going to see a lot more guys in Speedos.
Really?
You're
Cover
welcome.
Up.
Mega Minds.
Man, this weather has been a disaster. We're commercial free on the Brett Mega Show. A lot of people were affected by the snowstorm and a lot of school closings and cancellations and things like that. And if your kids are finally back to school, I know Kevin, your wife and kids back to school finally, right?
Yeah, today is the day. But be careful on the roadways because those kids are waiting for buses in that ankle deep snow and they may be on the street. So just drive safe.
It affected us coming back because we took a couple of weeks off for the holidays to spend some time with friends and family. And AB had scheduled, she was going to like a conference for like for youth religion reasons. And so it was like happening around the same time. So she was scheduled to be off for those couple of days. She didn't know that she was going to be scheduled to be stranded and have to figure out how to get there because you almost didn't make it. You had a bunch of travel issues, right?
So my flight to Atlanta, we were supposed to fly out the morning that the snow was supposed to start. And we got a text like 2 days before. I got a call from my best friend at 8 a.m. I was still asleep because we're on break. And I was like, what do you want? Like, I'm asleep.
I never get to sleep in.
Right? I know. Okay.
My alarm goes off at
I'm
4
like,
o'clock
give me a
in the morning.
Break here. And she was like, did you get this text from Southwest? They just canceled our flight and we have to reschedule it before everybody else starts hopping on and rescheduling theirs. And I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. Sorry. You did call me for a good reason.
So how many days before the snowstorm even came?
It was like 2.5 days before.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So Southwest was on it.
Which I've never heard of flights getting canceled like that. That was really weird to me. So we hop on, we reschedule our flight and it was free because, you know, it's not our fault and whatever. And we were supposed to have a layover in D.C. and then get to Atlanta, which kind of sucked because it was supposed to be nonstop, but whatever. We were like, we'll get there. So the day of the flight comes around and we get a text from Southwest just saying your flight is going to be 30 minutes delayed. We were like, okay, not bad. We look at our layover and there is 10 minutes in between.
Wow.
Like when we land and when it departs.
I'm going to do the sprint.
Man.
So our plan was to, okay, we'll still get to the airport. We'll talk to the gate agent and just be like, can you have them hold the plane?
Yeah, they'll hold the plane. Yeah. But
and
if you don't know that, they will hold planes.
I've never
for
heard of that.
Yeah, if you tell them, they'll hold planes for you.
Yeah, I'm not much of a runner. Can you hold the plane?
That's funny.
So that was our plan. My friend London drove me to the airport. The second I step in the airport, I get a text from Southwest, your first flight is delayed 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, okay, so there's not even a shot of us making the layover.
Layover.
I'll be stranded in D.C. I don't know anybody there. Like, what am I going to do? So I call London immediately. I'm like, don't get on the highway. Turn around. Come back and get me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And she's like, well, she lives in Oxford, Mississippi. She's like, I'm driving back home to Oxford today. What if you drive with me 6 hours and then I drive you an hour to the Memphis airport tomorrow morning and you fly out of there? And I was like, that is seeming like my only option right now. So I guess we're going on a road trip.
So you drove basically 7 hours to a different airport.
Yes.
Road trip.
I've had to do this during the holidays too. I drove from, my family lives in Chicago and I was flying back to Dallas and I had to drive to like Milwaukee and different airports just to get on a flight. I've had to do this, but 7 hours to catch a flight. How far is Atlanta?
I think Atlanta's only like 12 or 10 hours. We kind of figured that out later. We were like, we're stupid, but... So I went up to the Southwest lady. I was like, hey, can you cancel this flight? Put me on the Memphis one. She was kind of confused, but she was like, okay. So we end up getting to Atlanta fine. When I go to check into my flight home, my Southwest app says 0 flights. And I was like, what are you talking about? Where is my flight home? Like, this one should never have been affected. And my friend Elizabeth, who was traveling with me, she still had the flight.
Oh,
what?
Really?
So I was like,
you were
it's
getting punished.
Just me.
They just said that.
I was like, what's going on?
They canceled you. They're like, right. We don't want you on this
exactly.
plane.
And no
she
refund.
Can go to Memphis on
no refund. They didn't give me any money back. They didn't
what?
Give me any points.
I was in New York one time, and Southwest did this to me too. Southwest canceled the flight. Like, I was sitting there on my way, like in an Uber, and then they said, your flight's canceled, no refund.
But they didn't even tell me.
I just got just an up. I don't know if I looked at it too the same way, and they don't even tell you. And then I got to the airport, like, yeah, we canceled it.
What? This is making my blood boil just
It's crazy.
So
experience.
I guess the Southwest lady got confused when she was like, you're flying out of Memphis. Okay, like, I guess you don't need a flight home. I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know why.
Oh, she's the one who canceled.
I think she's the one that did it. And I just like didn't go on the app and check soon enough. And so I had to call Southwest and I explained the situation and I was like, so I should get this flight for free. And he was like, oh, completely for free. Like, that's our fault, blah, blah, blah. He was like, okay, you're on the same flight as your friend. Everything will be fine. You'll get a confirmation email. It was free. I was like, okay, cool. And then I go on my Southwest app and they took it out of my points. So I paid for three flights and I only took two.
And you drove 7 hours to do it.
Yes.
Wow. Was the trip worth
it? Was God worth it?
God was worth it.
Man, God is expensive.
He is.
Let's talk about family and money. Usually a terrible combination, especially around the holidays. If you win one of those scratch-off tickets, a lot of people get them for the holidays. My family does it. Put them in the stockings. You win a scratch-off ticket. And I'm not talking like you win the $1 million, but I'm talking like you do win like a large scratch-off. You look at the scratch-off ticket, look down, you scratch off all the numbers, and it's like, boom, you won $1,000. Hell yeah. Do you have to give a piece of that money to the person who gave you that as a gift, the scratch-off ticket? 314-531-9898. I was thinking about this because this is what we do. Like, my in-laws have always, like, hosted Christmas, and they would get all their kids, like, scratch-off tickets. And when we took over hosting for Christmas, we started doing that. We buy scratch-off tickets for everybody. And man, there's no other awkward feeling in the room than like you give someone a ticket, they scratch it off, and they win the money. What are you supposed to do? Like, hey, thanks for the scratch-off ticket. I just won $1,000. But is it that's their money, right?
Right.
The only way that you can expect money back is you have to like be precautionary with it. Like, before you give them the ticket, be like, hey, if you win big, we're splitting this, or I better get a cut.
That before Christmas?
Everybody. I feel like every time I've ever seen anybody do scratch-offs, they're like, it's like funny. They're like, oh, you know, I'm splitting it with Uncle Reggie.
When people say that, they say it as a joke. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think.
That's a contract of blood.
I mean that.
I think if you're with the person when they scratch it off and they win, and you're the person that gave it to them, yeah, I think you should get maybe a little bit of a cut. But I think if you give it to them like in a card and they open it and scratch it at a later date and win, then
what?
Right.
So like if you can secretly take the money?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a cutoff. Like if it's like $5,000 or less, it's yours. Like if it's because like
oh you think it's so
your gift.
The
what is the point?
The more you
there's no other gift in the history of gift giving.
I feel like the
cutoff
is like 500.
No, because
maybe 1,000.
No, you get a taxed on that, right? Like I've never won.
I've never won anything this.
Do you get taxed on a scratcher?
I don't. I've only won like $20 on a scratcher. I don't know.
I'm kind of in my gambling era, so I think like taxes come at like $1,500 maybe.
Look at you. I've only won like $20 and they don't tax that on the scratch off tickets. But I know like if you win the Mega Millions, everyone talks about how much they take out in taxes. That's like a thing.
Google says you do get taxed on
scratchers. See, you get taxed on it. So I don't think you should have to cut people money until it's like $5,000. If you win a grand, you just sit there like puppy eyes, sad.
Oh, sorry.
Like, damn, that person just won $1,000 off that scratch-off ticket I gave him. And like, you're good for Christmas gifts for next year or something.
Right, right. But I get that, but it's good karma, I think. That's part of it. But I do agree with Hannah. I think it's very much like the Trivia Night rules on the 50-50. Where, you know, you need to tell right away, we don't want you to give this back.
Correct.
Who does this? Who?
I guess it is a gift. It's a gift.
When they opened up their stockings, I did not once yell, hey, anyone who's doing the scratch-off thing, I get it.
You know, like, the possibility of it being a lot of money, and you gave it anyway. So I take it all back. All the money is yours.
Thank you. Okay.
No.
Okay. What? Where are we at with this? Has anyone ever won from a scratch-off ticket more than $20? Because it seems like no one in the room has. And then what is the policy with friends and family? Do they all get a cut? Does the person who gave you that ticket get like 20%, 50-50 split? 314-531-9898. You win on the scratch-off lottery ticket. How do you divide up the money? Is it all yours? Take your calls on this while we're commercial free on Y98. Still commercial free on the Brett Maga Show. Let's talk about winning the lottery. I wish. One of my things my family does, and I think a lot of families do this for the holidays, they hand out scratch-off tickets. It's kind of fun, stocking stuffer. And if you do this and somebody wins, like you give someone a scratch-off ticket and they win like a, not like the $1 million, but like they win a decent amount, $500,000, $5,000 on a scratch-off ticket. I don't know anyone who's ever won like crazy amount. If that's you, how do you divvy up the money? Is it all yours? Do you have to give a kickback to the person who gave it to you as a gift? 314-531-9898. For me, we bought them for my in-laws and family and stuff like they came to town. I wouldn't expect a kickback. Like, that's their money. I'd be pissed. I'd be like, damn, right. Why'd they get that ticket? But Hannah thinks you got it. Like, you're supposed to announce it and make, like, have a conversation.
I mean, yeah, you got to set your boundaries before.
Yeah, and I think the kickback basically keeps everybody kind of happy, and this will continue. Like, oh, hey, you know what? If we actually win on one of these, I might get some money.
So sure. If you won $1,000, Kevin, what kickback would you give to the person who gave that to you as a gift?
I don't know, probably like $50.
50's yeah. Fair, like yeah. Something.
You know, I think
something.
That's a good amount. You should get something.
I think that would feel insulting.
I know, that's like so little. It's
what?
Not even like,
it's not I thought you were going to say like 500.
I thought he was going to throw what? Like 10%, 20%.
If you don't
like 50
want my
$50,
then you get nothing.
Yeah,
bye.
I mean, come on. It only cost you $2.
Mm-hmm.
Here's 50.
You still came
what
out on top.
Oh, I just don't give
maybe
it.
Maybe reimburse them for how much the scratcher costs, like $2.
Just, right. Did anyone give somebody an air fryer saying, can I come to your house and use your air fryer? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is a gift you gave them, and then if they use it in a scratch, just so you know, if you give someone a scratch-off ticket and they don't win, it is a useless gift. You gave them a piece of paper. So they finally won something.
I gave them a dream, Brett. Yeah.
You won something. Okay, you're going to give me mine back? Like, you don't do that for your sweater. You just bought them. Hey, I know I got you that sweater, but I get to wear it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like, what kind of gift is this? You gave them a gift.
You set a boundary. Say, I'll give this to you if.
Okay, like, hey, Hannah, when you open, like, that Lego set I gave you for the holidays, you and I could split it, okay?
Okay.
What are people saying on the text line? I'm clearly right, probably.
No. Danny texted in and said, in our family, we give lottery tickets for every occasion instead of actual cards, and we do what Hannah said. If we win over $100, we split. That's just the rule.
Oh, they split. Wow.
Dang. They split it 50-50?
That's their rule, and I like that.
It's communist family.
Another text said, that's the risk you take when you give a scratch-off as a gift. It's a gift, no take-backs.
Yeah.
That's also why I refuse to give scratch-offs as a gift. I'll be mad if someone wins on a scratch-off I bought, but I would not expect them to give me any of the cut.
Yeah. If you know you're going to be mad by not getting any money, you should not be giving that as a gift.
Right. If you're giving them a gift and expect, like, and you don't, like, you literally are cheering for them to lose.
But also, if you're gonna say you wouldn't be a little bit upset, like, deep down, not upset, but like, damn.
Yeah, disappointed.
Like, you're lying to yourself.
I wouldn't ever be like, I'm never getting anybody a scratch off in case they win. Like, what? Come on.
I would be mad if Alex won the lottery, you won the Mega Millions, and you just quit this job, like, out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I would be kind of bitter. Like, damn, why did Alex win the Mega Millions, too? But I wouldn't want him to I wouldn't expect him to give me money just because I'm sitting in the room and handed you a scratch off.
I mean, if I won Mega Millions and you bought me the ticket, I'd cut you in a little bit, at least.
Right. $50.
Yeah, $50. Yeah. That's about all 50. The limit we can go.
Hannah, what's coming up in the Hollywood hashtag?
Holy cow, there's a whole new conspiracy theory out about Justin Baldoni and shots being fired in Deadpool. I'll break down the whole thing in just 3 minutes.
It's going down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag, baby, is ready, so here we go.
It seems like 2025 is going to be the year of absolute exposure in Hollywood, because every single day we are learning more and more information about the case between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. Quick little recap for those of you who have been snowed in. Actress Blake Lively and movie producer Jason Baldoni worked together in the movie It Ends With Us, and Blake originally got canceled because she never really spoke about the movie's main purpose of domestic violence, as Justin Baldoni was like a huge advocate for it, making various comments about it, posts about it. Well, then Blake Lively recently came out and accused Justin Baldoni himself of being wildly inappropriate on set, crossing lines, making her feel uncomfortable. And then Justin Baldoni fired back and sued Blake for trying to smear his name. And every single day, it gets uglier. and more things come out about it.
They're both suing each other for smear campaigns, yeah. Which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Well, now the great people of social media have done their own digging on the two of them and have now created this massive conspiracy theory that Blake Lively and her husband Ryan Reynolds mock Justin Baldoni in Ryan Reynolds' movie Deadpool.
When I first saw this, by the way, I thought this was craziest thing ever. And then as we start unpacking it, you're going, huh.
I haven't heard about this yet. I'm excited.
Wait till you hear this. This is crazy.
This has receipts. So in the movie Deadpool, there's this character named Nicepool, and it's supposedly completely imitating Justin Baldoni. Example one, there's a scene where Nicepool is all in this like hippie hairstyle, man bun, long hair, similar to Justin Baldoni's look. And Nicepool compliments Blake Lively's character, Ladypool, by saying this.
Oh my goodness, wait till you see Ladypool. She is gorgeous. She just had a baby too and can't even tell.
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
That's okay. I identify as a feminist. Right.
So that's super ironic because Justin Baldoni's public persona, he's seen as like this huge activist and a feminist. But Blake was complaining that Justin Baldoni was saying these comments to her.
Saying that exactly.
Like literally that's like exactly what she came out saying was how he was commenting on how she just had a baby.
You wouldn't even notice. Like that's not a compliment.
Inappropriate
jerk.
Remarks. Yeah. And then boom, it was in Deadpool played by Blake's husband. So that was ironic. Example two. And now it takes a Deadpool. There's a scene where Nicepool seems to take another direct dig at Justin Baldoni by going after podcast hosts, which Justin Baldoni has a podcast where he claims to be a feminist called Mad Enough.
Yeah, but Merc to Merc, yeah, they're crazy. They will chop you up into a thousand pieces and hide you all over the void. I'd be fighting alongside them, but my calling is to one day host a podcast that monetizes the women's movement.
Oh, crazy.
Which is what Justin
Baldoni. That hits way too close to home. I mean, guys, there's almost 10 different direct examples of this. It's absolutely crazy. Threads and threads are out there on the internet.
The other thing is that he gets killed by Ladypool in front of a flower shop. And the it ends with us, is she starts a flower shop. So everyone's like, man, this feels very much like a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think to myself, man, would they really do that? But I don't, it does feel like so many coincidences.
So Justin Baldoni's lawyers.
They're also friends with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And that's like a very Taylor thing to do.
Taylor to do is to do subliminal shots like that in like Easter eggs, right?
Right. So Justin Baldoni's lawyer has been working around the clock and he's already came out about this conspiracy theory, swinging in Justin Baldoni's defense, saying that the Deadpool scenes wouldn't even make sense as a reaction to some of these allegations.
What I make of that is that if your wife is sexually harassed, you don't make fun of Justin Baldoni. There's no question it relates to Justin. I mean, anybody that can watch that, the hair bun. If somebody is seriously sexually harassed, you don't make fun of it. It's a serious issue.
This is messy as hell. And I kind of have been leaning on the Justin Baldoni side of things for a little bit. But his lawyer's comment right there didn't really make sense because you can't say how people react to that stuff.
I was going to say that. Like, at first I thought that makes sense to me. Like if you were seriously sexually harassed, you wouldn't use humor in a movie. And then I thought that is such a male thing for us to say because Hannah had pointed out like some of the things that she hears in the office or in regular life all the time as a woman. Guys are like, oh my God. And Hannah's like, yeah, that's called being a woman. Like, we do hear it and react differently, and we are, and how we react and use humor, it sometimes does make sense. And they're like, huh. Mm. Like, I do think that, like, you can't sit there and to say how they would
react. Everybody's going to react to something like that differently. You can't predict and say for certain, if this happened, you wouldn't react.
Yeah.
This way. Nobody can tell you how you're going to react. You've never been in that position.
It is obvious that we've said this before because we've been covering every single day. Neither of them look good in this situation.
No.
They both look like they both had smear campaigns and are showing receipts because they exist. There's bullying on the Blake Lively side, which is terrible. And there's sexual harassment and toxic work environment on Justin Baldoni's side. And it's terrible. And then this is a mind blowing, if you look at it, that Deadpool's Nicepool character, which is a central focus point of the whole movie, actually was all shot at Justin Baldoni, which is crazy because that is the concept of Deadpool. They take shots at,
everybody. Right.
And so it does make sense that Ryan Reynolds would do that in that movie too.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Well, keep the conspiracy theories coming because I think they're quite entertaining. This has been Hannah's Hollywood hashtag.
It just went down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag, baby, is done. Oh, yeah, it's time to go.
Sorry just doesn't even feel like the right word choice for everyone that's dealing with those wildfires that are just devastating Los Angeles, the Hollywood Hills, all that area. So many different celebrities affected. I just want to point out a couple of things. If you're watching the news and you're seeing those fires that are just running through Los Angeles, it's not just celebrities. We are getting a look inside the celebrities' lives and seeing their mansions burned down to ashes, but there's homes that are just not celebrities that are also just devastated. So we're thinking about our friends and family that have been affected over there. I do have a list of celebrities that we'll get to in a second, that homes, just huge mansions that were destroyed. But even like on a personal level, I have a friend who posted her journey to think about this in perspective as those fires run through Los Angeles, what it looks like. Her daughter was asked to leave school, like they were evacuating the school. And so she posted a video of all the parents in line. They had waited 5 hours to get their kids out of school. When she got to the front of the line to get her kid, the teachers said, "We had to bus your daughter to a different place."
What?
So she waited 5 hours to get information. You couldn't, like, the communication lines were so hard. Then she had to go to a different place and wait another 2 hours. Just trying to get your kids out of school in those situations where you're in panic mode was so hard for these people. So I think we're seeing a look inside the celebrity lives, but so many people who just live regular lives, like you, me, listening in your cars. It is impossible what they're dealing with
that
right now.
So traumatic. And a lot of people, I feel like, are kind of like rolling their eyes. They're like, okay, celebrities have so much money. They'll just go to their different houses. But to have anything happen to your home is so like serious, and it hits deep in your heart. Like, that's where you're supposed to feel safest.
Yeah.
That's where you make memories with your kids and your family. Like, that is so terrible, whether you're a millionaire or you're not. Right. That is like so scary.
Yeah. What if this is like, even those celebrities, if this is their dream home that they built in the Hollywood Hills because they worked their asses off and they made this life for their family and then it's burnt down? I do feel for them. Even the millionaires, I feel for them. And right now, the last I'm hearing is like almost 0% containment.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's not just the homes, it's the entire communities. Yeah. It's public libraries, it's restaurants, it's places where not only celebrities, but people grew up. It's their entire community gone. It looks literally like it has been bombed. It's just horrific.
I've never seen anything like this.
They were saying a lot of those firefighters, because we see that area, not specifically Los Angeles, but we see areas in Northern California and California where wildfires do exist. There's a wildfire season and they do kind of rip through those areas, but we've never seen something like this, just dramatic. And a lot of times those firefighters that fight those areas, it's just the wind. Like whenever the wind takes it and they can't control it and they're doing their best. And I know that there's local resources going towards helping and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so many people affected by it. Adam Brody and Leighton Meester, house in ashes, crumbled. Ashton Kutcher was seen trying to help his friends and family and stuff in the areas, trying to water stuff down. Their houses were destroyed. Spencer Pratt, Heidi Montag, house destroyed. Paris Hilton lost her house. James Woods, Billy Crystal.
People that have everything have nothing now.
Right.
Miles Teller, Anthony Hopkins, all of them lost their house. Ben Affleck just bought a $20 million house, lost it.
Holy cow. Yeah, it's
damn,
like,
he's going through it.
It's crazy because it's like one of the richest places. It's one of the actually, most expensive places of real estate.
Yeah.
And now it's just ash. And you're like, how? And hopefully they will rebuild, but how?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It just keeps going, too.
The other thing that, I was talking to a friend who lives out there and they weren't there. They evacuated and it's almost impossible to find out what's happening to their home because like my dad, when he went through those hurricanes, some people stayed, some people didn't, like with the fire, everyone's like, you have to get out. It's a fire. And so there's no one to contact, like, hey, how's the house looking? Can you see my house from your neighbors? Like they're just like so many people are sitting in the unknown. Like, I know the area was, but I don't know the devastation that it is. Like, is it still standing? Can it be repaired? Where are we at? So many people affected. So we're definitely thinking about them. We are still commercial free on the Brett Mega Show, thinking about our friends and family out in the Los Angeles area. It's Y98 St. Louis.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
All right, let's put 2 minutes on the the clock, maybe even snowed in. You're like, what are people talking about? What's trending? While we're commercial free on the Brett Mega Show, we'll cover it. I'll read off a headline. Hannah either tells me, keep it moving or tell me more, and we'll get through as many stories as she says yes to in the next 2 minutes. Like, these are the most unusual 911 calls of 2024.
I love stuff like this.
All right, a person called 911 asking for help on a math equation because they didn't know they didn't want to fail their test in the morning.
I mean, yeah, math is really stressful. I do the same thing.
Dispatchers got a call from someone having trouble with their washing machine and in panic mode.
AB would do that.
AB when she called 911 when she couldn't get her curtains hung.
Literally.
A caller complained that their cat was being mean to them and they were apparently hoping an officer would come help with the situation.
I mean, if the cat was in attack mode, I can see that.
And someone called 911 asking for help to unlock their cell phone. They were also 90 years old.
Oh, wow.
Hey, that makes me want to cry.
Probably one of the funniest and most ridiculous college classes of all time.
I feel like a lot of them are ridiculous now. Keep it moving.
All right. It's how to make a phone call.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what? When I was voting at the library, I was tearing up because there was like bulletin boards and there were classes for old people on like how to use an iPad, how to use Facebook. And there's classes over stuff like that.
So you were laughing at that, but this is for like young people who don't even know how to use their phone anymore because all they do is text messages.
I have no sympathy for the young people. I only have sympathy for the old people.
They said, man, I really learned how to talk to someone. They said the key is really know what you're calling for before you call them. This is what they come from.
Yeah, I don't have sympathy for that. Just the old folk.
Hey. All right, do you want sexier dreams, Hannah?
I mean, yeah, I'll take them.
Okay. It's all about your sleep position. People in a study found that if you sleep on your stomachs, you're more likely to have sexy dreams, specifically about Riley Green.
Okay, I'm in.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
Let's talk about our insecurities for a second here on the Brett Mega Show while we're commercial free. I love like New Year's resolutions and things like that because it gives people an opportunity to reset their mind and things like that. So this is an interesting challenge that I've seen some people do is write down right now, this time of the year, your biggest insecurity or your biggest weakness in 2025 going into the new year, and then review it a year later and go, huh, is that still my biggest weakness? Is that still my biggest insecurity? Or was I able to tackle that and accomplish it and, you know, beat it or I'm in a better place? And I think that's such an interesting challenge. So maybe you can do it yourself. So we're all going to do that in the room. We're going to say this is what our biggest insecurity is, our biggest weakness is for 2025. Hannah, what would it be for you?
Honestly, I would say my biggest weakness right now and something I'm really looking forward to improving and gaining strength on in the year is just my mental state and my heart when it comes to my breakup. Last year, I went through a really big breakup and it like shifted my life in a lot of ways. So I hope this year that I'm able to like find more strength and more clarity within that because I'm still kind of like mixed emotions and it still weighs pretty heavy on me. So I hope to gain strength.
So what do you mean gain strength? Do you mean that you feel like it still controls you and your actions? What do you mean by like the, hey, I want to gain strength from the breakup. Like you just no longer care about the breakup. Like, yeah, that was a breakup.
Probably like look to learn more lessons and find more like confidence in myself even. Like I feel like no matter what happens in a breakup, you kind of question certain things about yourself like along the timeline. So like not regretting as much and just having more like clarity within the whole thing would be something I'd look for this year.
So next year at this time you look back and like, yeah, remember when I was like so devastated over that breakup and I'm in such a positive place now? That's what you're hoping to do?
Yeah.
For me, I think my biggest insecurity, my biggest weakness, and I hope to God I can somehow figure out a way to improve on this, is me as a provider for my family. I feel like as the end of the year happened, my basement got flooded, so it wasn't even usable. My car got broken into, and I just felt like I could not provide a home that felt safe for my family. And I just kept beating myself up for it, especially for the holidays. Like we only put up the Christmas tree this year because it's like a tradition. You put up the Christmas tree. It's a big tradition for my family and how we do it. But we didn't put up any other Christmas decorations around the house. We're all just kind of like stuck in this one area of the house. And I felt like, I hate this terminology, but I felt like less of a man, less of a provider for my wife or my family. I felt like they were looking at me like, Dad, you can't keep us safe. Dad, you can't provide for us. And I hated that feeling for them and for me. So I feel like one of my biggest insecurities is not being enough for my family.
Hmm. Wow. Man, I'm just surprised because you provide so much for them. And you care so much for them I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, it does suck. But like those are I wrote it down as like my biggest insecurity. I hope that they can feel like this house, we can have the things, because I feel like right now I can't give them the things they need to feel like they're in a safe place. This is where my basement area is, you know, is one of my biggest struggles the last 3 months of the year. This is where my wife works. So she's like either working at the library, trying to find a space, or working downstairs in just a basement that has cement and trying to take like therapy calls and things like that. It's like insane. And I feel like, man, I can't even give you guys a place where the home feels safe. And so I want to make sure by next year that my home feels like a home and not just like a house that I'm just like trying to make sure I'm surviving in. Interesting challenge. For you to do it, you could also share yours with us. We love when you do that at 314-531-9898. Kevin thought I just dropped a bomb on him. Well, Kevin, you're up next. Oh, just casually sharing with you our biggest insecurities and weaknesses.
Good morning!
We're commercial free on the Brett Mega Show. And I do think, one, this is a really interesting challenge to do going into a new year. But also, this is a safe place to share our biggest insecurities with you, because you can share your biggest insecurities with us. That's what makes this show so different and special, is where it's a safe place for you to go, you know what? I'm not perfect, and that's okay. And I think New Year's resolutions give you that opportunity to make changes in your life. And I saw this, people talking about, write down your biggest insecurity or your biggest weakness, and then look at it next year and see, were you able to get over it? Were you able to make it a strength of yours? Were you able to accomplish something from it? And so Hannah and I shared ours, and Kevin's like, damn, you're dropping bombs. Kevin, you're up next now, man.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard for me because mine is more of a way to clean out the old. I'm a very nostalgic person, and I hold on to a lot of things in the past, sometimes too much, sometimes too many. I have tons of things, not only from my childhood, but from my kids' childhood, from my wife's childhood. That's just, it's not cluttering up the house or cluttering up our life. It's just a lot, and I need to somehow organize that and get rid of that to kind of, you know, and I feel like I'm really late to the party. The big trend several years ago was Marie Kondoing everything, departmentalizing stuff and getting rid of what keeping your joy and getting rid of what you don't need. I just have so much of it. I need to find a way to clear it out, because a lot of what I do on the show is keep the past. And that's what kind of is, you know, it's a skill. It's because you kind of got to archive things. You got to have stuff.
Yeah, Kevin's
ready
really good at organizing. I asked Kevin for a piece of audio that we aired a year ago today, and he goes, got it.
Yeah. You know, but at the same time, I don't want that to become too much. I don't want to become a hoarder. I don't want to become somebody who can't remove nostalgia from their life. And that's really what I'd really want to work a lot of this year, is getting rid of a lot of the old and accepting the new.
That type of stuff is no joke. Like, to some people it may sound like silly, like, oh, it's hard to get rid of stuff, but my mom is one of those people. She has a really hard time letting go of the past or like things of when my siblings and I were young, and that's like really hard for someone to like separate that or get rid of old things. So Kevin, that is a big task for the year.
Kevin the hoarder is going to be gone in 2025.
Yeah, well, at least a little half hoarding.
AB, what's your biggest insecurity or weakness, you know, back from vacation?
Yeah, good morning. I feel like one of my biggest weaknesses in 2024 and like before that is being able to say no. Which is something Brett has told me I'm horrible at since like the day he met me. Especially in December, which is all of the holiday stuff. We had November and December, we had so many videos to film and edit, and it was just like consuming my life. I wish I had said no to some of them, because I don't think the money was worth like what it was doing to my mental health and my relationship with God. And like physically, I was getting headaches every single day because of it, like really bad headaches. And I learned recently at this Christian conference I just went to, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And I feel like I let the devil win in December, thinking, oh, well, I'm going to get all this money, it'll be worth it. And it just wasn't.
AB and I actually had a conversation about like her being overwhelmed in November and December. And I was just talking about like, it almost affected her creativity too. You're just like churning things out to churn things out and doing things to do things of a checklist instead of really being free to create or be the best version of yourself. You're just not, just because you're doing more doesn't actually mean you're doing more. And we, her and I had a conversation about that.
Yeah.
Alex, what's your biggest insecurity or weakness?
I think AB kind of hit a little bit of one of mine, which is being able to say no more, but I guess focusing less on what everybody else sees as perfect or good, especially with like a wedding planning and like planning a honeymoon and doing all these different things, is being less concerned about like what other people think about about it, right? And being,
I think in social media, a lot of us do that. Like, oh, is this post going to be really cool? Yeah, well, this will this be the will fire off the algorithm and people are think cool instead of like, well, this is what I want to share. This is what I want to do. This is the life I want to live. Instead of living for other people, live for yourself.
Yeah, I think, and I think being more okay with sometimes understanding that I'm not responsible for other people's feelings, and that if I have to hurt somebody's feelings, like, you know, that's not, you don't want to purposely hurt somebody's feelings, right? But like, understanding I'm not responsible for their feelings and that
their happiness,
it's okay.
Like, I feel like that's the biggest thing that you could do going into your wedding season and wedding year is remembering
Are going to get their feelings hurt, and I can't be here to worry about everybody else. I just have to worry about what's going to make me and what's going to make like Annie, like this year, what's going to make us happy in as far as like,
everyone's got an opinion about your own wedding. It's the funniest
thing. Everybody has an opinion, and it's just worrying about my own.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. It's an interesting challenge for you to even do it for yourself. Write down your biggest insecurity or your biggest weakness and see if it becomes a strength in 2025. Thanks for hanging with us commercial free. A lot of schools back now after this crazy winter storm, so we appreciate you rocking with us commercial free on the Brett Maga Show. Hannah, what's coming up in the Hollywood hashtag?
Okay, so I want everyone to get out a post-it note and jot down who you think the top 10 artists of the century have been, because at 8:35 I'll reveal who Billboard named the top 10. We can compare notes. It'll be so fun.
It's going down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag, baby, is ready, so here we go.
Since it's now 2025, Billboard has released their top artist chart for the first 25 years of the century. Coming in at number 10 is Usher, and I'm glad that he's like kept enough fame to be at number 10 on the list.
Wow, Usher being 10 though, that is really, wow.
Yeah, jumping up to number 5 is Eminem, and I literally think that his last album was like his saving grace that he
should have been number 1.
Okay,
give me a break.
Greatest, we'll forever die on the hill that Eminem's the best. Yeah.
Greatest rapper of all time, one of the best writers of all time. I don't get it. How does anyone beat him? Who beat him?
4 is Post Malone.
Post Malone,
I know,
bro.
That is kind of crazy.
So disrespectful.
Over Eminem, that it does seem a little early in his career to put Post Malone above Eminem.
Post Malone doesn't exist if Eminem doesn't exist. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Stupid.
That kind of hurts the heart a little bit. Zooming in on number 3 is Rihanna. I feel like maybe even she could be lower on the list.
She hasn't made music in like 8 years.
Exactly.
Agreed.
I don't know.
Seems like a blind ranking.
Right. I think Eminem should be 3 on the list, because I think number 1 and 2 are probably going to be 2 badass females.
Not true. Number 2, Kevin, you're going to get fired up about this.
Is it Drake?
Drake.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll be honest. I can see that. I understand.
Yeah.
I do.
Had made a ton of music, but over Beyonce?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, so is she number 1?
No, Beyonce was 7.
Yeah, I don't like this
list.
What?
Yeah, that's kind of whack. But number 1, nobody can argue, Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I don't think Rihanna over Beyonce. I think Adele's not getting enough love.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Adele's
but I could see
it.
You know, I could see Adele, whatever. But just talking about Taylor Swift, she might be, and I don't want to like just get caught up in the moment, but might be becoming one of the biggest artists of all time.
Not
just 21st century. Yeah, like, you're talking Beatles, Elvis, Michael Jackson, Taylor Swift type of, like, this.
Yeah.
You know,
when
like,
all said and done, it's, yeah,
yeah, you're right.
She'll be the top.
She might be, I don't know if she can pass some of those people yet, but, and when her, she's like 30 something.
Yeah.
When her career's said and done, you might be witnessing the greatest artist of all time. That's insane to think we're living in that era.
I'm not even a big Swiftie, but I can't even argue with that either. Like, she just is the best of all time.
Crazy.
This has been Hannah's Hollywood Hashtag.
It just went down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag, baby, is done. Oh, yeah, it's time to go.
Mega Minds.
Let's see if you can get the Megamind question of the day correct on the Brett Maga Show. 25% of people said they are so impatient they have done this.
I think that it has something to do with like taking down or putting up holiday decorations. I think people get it so impatient that they take down their Christmas decorations like day of.
Okay, on Christmas Day, like the tree's coming down.
Yep.
Skip the line. Is that too vague?
Yeah, give me a specific place they
skip the line. Okay, they have... I'm thinking of my friend Doug. They skipped the line at the gas station. Actually, took the pump from somebody to fill up their car.
You don't know a guy who did
what?
That?
Dang.
Your friend
That's
Doug.
Insane.
Yeah. He deserves to be called out.
He was an engineer, and he was on a call, so that's why.
What a legend.
Wow,
someone's
Doug.
Pumping their gas.
He goes, hey. I need to be somewhere.
What a legend. Doug is a legend.
We bring it up all the time.
As wow. You should.
Doug, wow. What a legend.
I'm going to say run a red light.
Run a red light, okay?
I can't get over Doug.
No one else has done what Doug has done, so it's not 25%. No one else has actually done that.
I'm going to say you pee outside.
Just pee outside. You can't even make it to the bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. He's a big public peer.
Doug was peeing while he was doing... Kevin forgot to mention that. Yeah. No one got it correct. I know you're probably surprised that Kevin did not get it correct. But what do you think that 25% of people are so impatient they do what... prematurely. That answer's coming away in two songs.
Mega Minds.
All right, let's give you the answer to the Mega Mind question of the day. 25% of people are so impatient they've done this.
April texted in and said that they use the bathroom of the opposite sex just because they can't.
I thought about that too.
That's a good answer.
That's a really good one. Another one says taking the stairs instead of waiting for the elevator.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm so... Impatient, I would just wait.
Impatient but lazy.
Dave
you know,
says,
like, oh, I don't want to do this, but yeah, I'm just too lazy.
Speeding could be because of impatience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like all of us speed, except for Kevin.
Yeah.
John said, people are so impatient that they pay full price rather than waiting for the discount code in their email.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've definitely done that.
You know what it is? It's read the last page of a book.
Just skip to the end?
Psychopath does that.
My sister does that.
Yep.
Does she?
She reads the last page first.
I'm someone...
That's disgusting.
And then goes back and reads the whole book?
Yeah.
I'm someone who doesn't care about spoilers. Like, you could spoil something for me and I'll still watch it. But reading a book is an accomplishment. Like, if you feel you're going to know the ending, you're just like, might as well just say, like, okay, I read that book. It's done. Like... I feel like if you that's like a goal. You want to go from 1 to 300.
I do not understand it.
Yeah. I don't understand people who are so impatient they have to have the person read the book to them instead of read them themselves.
Shut up.
That's just what AB does.
Audiobooks counts as reading.
Mega Minds.
Trash. Human. The worst in the universe.
We're going to judge just how trashy of a human being some of these people are here on the Brett Maga Show. We're going to do it on a scale 1 to 10. I'm going to give you a scenario of what people do, and then you tell me just how much of a trash human they are on a scale 1 to 10, okay?
Okay.
Everyone will have different scores, I'm sure. This is big for 2025, a lot of people going back to the gym. On a scale 1 to 10, how trash of a human is someone if they don't wipe down the gym equipment after using it? 1 to 10. What score would you give them as a trash human, Hannah?
I'm going to give them a 2 because I don't really do that. I was also going to give them a 2. I don't care. You know what you're getting into using a public gym. They're all dirty.
I think it depends on the sweat factor, how sweaty that actually is.
I mean, yeah, if I like get off the stairs or something and I go on like a normal like lifting machine equipment thing, I'll wipe it down.
But
I'm not that
bad. But on the reg, I'm not wiping it down.
We only gave you a 2. I also gave it a 2. I don't think it's a big deal.
If you're that concerned about it, wipe it down before you use it, just to make sure. Right.
I'd go,
I gave it a 5.
Well,
I'd go 4.
Okay, so people did not give that a bad score at all. All right, driving slow in the fast lane and refusing to move over.
That's a 1.
Kevin.
7.
All the Kevins out there.
I'm giving I gave it a 7. That is so Kevin. You're a trash of a human if you're doing that. People got places to go, man, and you're stopping them from getting there.
I am going to eventually turn.
I concur. I'm with Brett on the 7.
Seven?
I'm going to go 5 because I'm guilty of doing that sometimes.
Really? Okay. How about this? Cutting in line and pretending not to notice the people behind
ten.
You.
Oh, I hate people who cut in line.
I'm with Hannah. 10.
Awful.
I hate it.
10.
That enrages me.
Especially when they act like they pretend they don't see you.
Right.
See the line, bro.
You are such a trash human. You are literally saying I'm better than you and then acting like, oh, I don't even know. Like, screw you, man. 10. Worst human beings out there.
Awful.
People who cut the line. Not RSVPing to a wedding or event and then showing up. Alex, you want to go first?
I mean, that's, I would say that's a 7.
A 7?
I'm going to say a 1. I never RSVP to literally anything.
What do you do at a wedding, though? You don't have a place to, like,
Shows up.
Where that do you sit?
You invited me, so
a wedding, that was
somehow planned.
It's not a full 10 because it takes some guts to still show up. Part of you still respects that person. You're kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
Kind of trashy, but I kind of respect your trashiness. Right.
Like, to a regular event, like a 4, I don't really care. But to a wedding, it's like an 8.
8?
Yes.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.
Really?
You know, there's 300 people there. Like,
I mean, what's one more going to
hurt?
You're not eating if you don't RSVP to my wedding.
Who cares? Usually the food's not that good and they want to drink anyways.
The bar's already open. People have leftovers. I mean, Brett and I aren't RSVP.
Hannah's over there eating people's leftovers at a wedding. Yeah.
Talking on the speakerphone in public.
Doesn't bother me. 1.
How much of a trip? 1?
1.
Doesn't bother me. I love listening to people's conversations.
Yeah, that's perfect for Hannah.
Oh, yeah, right.
I had a former boss, Guy Phillips, who used to do it in the office all the time.
I gave it an 8.
I'm with you. I give it an 8.
It's very similar to the cutting in line thing. It's saying my conversation is so much more important than you. Everyone listen to me.
It doesn't
like,
have
so
to
annoying.
Get that deep.
I'd go 4.
Oh, really?
4? Yeah, I feel like it's like.
I would go 4.
Part of you's kind of interested in what they're talking about.
I mean, yeah.
All right, leaving your shopping cart in the parking lot.
10.
10.
10.
10.
Yeah,
I was a cart girl, guys.
I was a cart guy. I hate it. 10.
That is my best friend Sydney's like number one pet peeve in life ever is that. So for her, I'll go 10.
You just walked around the entire grocery store with the cart. You can walk a little bit more to put the cart away.
There's a corral nearby.
Sometimes it does suck.
It's funny, the one thing that we all agreed on, you are a trash human if you cut us in line and leave your parking
lot. Don't cut in line. Crash Human,
the worst in the universe. Listen to the Brett Mega Show on your schedule with the Odyssey app. Search Y98.